الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah
for having given us this opportunity to get together in this conference in order to learn something and go back home and apply it and teach it to those who did not attend, because the reward of every one of you will be greater when she passes on the information that she is receiving in this conference to her sister, because a Muslim woman also can be da'ya. She does not have to go door to door, but she is da'ya in terms of conveying the message to her sisters who did not have the chance to attend this conference. In this panel, we're going to, every one of us will have a short speech, and afterwards we start taking questions or answering the questions that were left over from previous sessions. Sisters, you have to realize one thing. As far as you're concerned, you're living in a society that is non-Muslim society. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has charged you with the duty, which is very serious and of a grave consequences, being a Muslimah, living in a society like this, increases your duties and makes it even more difficult for you to observe those duties, simply because first you yourself must apply Islam and to become an example for your daughters, let alone your sons, because we consider that the sons will always look up at their fathers to copy, which is natural for the girls to look at their mothers as the best. Every one of them would think that her mother is the best. If you actually set up a good example for her, she'll follow you. But if you are negligent of your salah, for instance, you sleep in for Fajr, your daughter would look at you being the best of women, you're her example, so my mother is the best. If Fajr prayer was that important, she would definitely would have got up in the morning and performed it on time. So Fajr prayer is not important because my mother is not observing it. The way you behave with your husband in front of your children, the way, every way, in other words, you have to calculate every step you take inside your home, because you have some who are watching you, either directly or indirectly. What we must work hard for, being Muslims in non-Muslim society, is to maintain our Islamic identity. If we fail to do that, then we cannot even think of how serious and grave the consequences will be. See, you send your children to schools, public schools, and they come home loaded with ideas, loaded with habits, loaded with this and that. It's your duty to work like to purify them, to cleanse them from these things. If you are negligent of what they learn something, for instance, from their peers, they learn something from, you have to check on your daughter. You have to make sure that whom did she talk to? Whom? Don't say, well, I don't want to impose on her. I don't want her to feel that she is trapped, she is imprisoned. See, this idea, this is Western idea. We are Muslims, inside out. If we say, well, we're living in a society like this, it's okay. That means, you know, we can close an eye on this, close an eye on that. And particularly these days, which I like to draw your attention to the fact that so many, unfortunately, so many Muslims who are not committed Muslims, you find them buying the largest Christmas tree and decorating it. And when we spoke to the parents, the fathers, we would say, brother, why did you bring this Christmas tree to your home? He said, well, I don't want my children to feel left out. See, he does not, this of course reflects his ignorance of his deen. He does not want to make his children feel left out. But on the long run, see, the child is losing his identity slowly, slowly. It becomes part and parcel of his life to every Christmas, even when he grows up, that the Christmas tree must be there. Brother, don't send your child to for Halloween to buy this outfit for him and go door to door and collect candies and this and that. Well, what would his friends in the school would say, that he did not go, he did not participate with them, he did not... See, you have to realize that you are Muslims. You're going to be questioned about your children on the day of resurrection. Not a single favor that Allah gives man, but he will be questioned about it on the day of resurrection. The husband, as far as the wife is concerned, is favor. The children are favor. Everything Allah gives you, you're going to be held questioned about. You'll be questioned about it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati." Every one of you is a guardian, and every one of you is responsible for his subject. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. And the wife is also a guardian in the house of her husband. And she will be questioned about her subjects. Your subjects are your children. It is very serious and important for you to deal with your children Islamically, to teach them the principles of Islam. We find some children, they know about, what's his name, that singer who looks like a woman, Jackson. They know about his history more than they know about the history of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know that the team, the name of the players in this team, or that if he prefers hockey, if he prefers football, he knows the history of every one of those players. When they sell the cards, what did he do, and what kind of, even the sickness, everything. And you ask him simple question, who was the first companion, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immigrated with him? Who? What are you talking about? I didn't know. Of course, because you see, one of the problems here is the TV. And this is very important, sisters, to pay attention to. You think that, well, I keep him watching, brother, because I want to keep him out of mischief. But you don't know what he's watching. Oh, no. He's watching children's cartoons, children's films. But you know what they're doing to these films? Are not put by stupid people. It's not just an artist doing it. They put it, there are subliminal messages. Subliminal messages, you don't read it. The child himself picks it. Subliminal message is a message not to be addressed to the eyes only. It goes to the in the subconscious. The child picks those things and keeps it and stores it, and it is reflected on his reaction. Didn't you see that if the child who keeps watching the violent cartoons or all by himself, talking to himself, trying to copy those characters that he was watching? One day I was in last year, I was in I went to Australia. And the brother told me, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? And this is how serious it is, this TV, that many, many Muslimas, Muslimat and Muslimun, they underestimate it. He said, my son, we were expecting a guest. When the guest came in, my son told him, I want you to tell me one thing. The child asked the guest, prove to me that Allah is stronger than He-Man. There you go. He said, prove to me that Allah is stronger than He-Man. The هذا فيلم كرتون يصوب الرجل يستطيع أن يفعل كل شيء يعني. Of course you know what I'm talking about, He-Man. I say it makes you cry. A child of this age considered He-Man a cartoon character stronger than Allah. And we still say, no, it's okay, it's funny, they keep them busy. And sisters, there are so many subliminal messages, maybe you pass the time of picking them up, but the child, they're made for the child. The child is like a sensitive plate that is inserted in the camera to pick up whatever image it picks. And this, it keeps going with him all his life. You know that some people still remember things that took place when they were as young as 4 years old. Because the things that they picked at that time, they were picked at that age. When they're young and very sensitive, when you're old, something else. All of us, we still have some images that we picked throughout our childhood. Whether violent events or happy events, we still. The most important things, we still keep them in our subconscious. The subconscious, according to psychiatrists and psychologists, they say the subconscious is that keeps working 24 hours. Our conscious sleeps when we sleep, but the subconscious keeps working 24 hours. That is to say, for instance, somebody sees a dream, the subconscious kept something, stored something that he had seen during the day, his daily hours, and when he couldn't do it. When he sleeps, comes up in a form of a sleep, of a dream, I'm sorry. So you have to be careful. The TV, now even the kafir people, I read a full page ad in US today saying that we are sick and tired with the violent movie, sex movie, this movie, that movie. But you see, some people say, well, there's no sex in it, brother. It's just a very nice movie, a play. But you know that those plays, that it imprints in the minds of your daughters the lifestyle of those people. Alhamdulillah, many of you came out of the kafir society, kafir families, kafir this, and now you give a pledge that you're going to be committed to Islam. Once you do that, you have to do it fully, sisters. You can't just take part of it and discard the other. In other words, in order to raise your children Islamically, you have to inculcate in them the principles of Islam. Who is your Rabb? I ask many children, who is your Rabb? Hey, what are you talking about? Who is your Prophet? Some of them might be lucky to say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know what did he do? How he was born? Do you know how? What did he? Do you know this? Do you know about the life story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He doesn't know anything, because neither the father nor the mother has the time to tell a story. Instead of having watching cartoon, come, since we have an hour every week, we sit together and we talk about according to his age. I tell them a story, very interesting story about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes you say that the brother was saying today a story, you know, one was just about to cry about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One aspect, one event, one this. Teach your children who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let them grow up respectful of him, not just whenever his name passes, he doesn't care, he doesn't mention it, it doesn't make any sense to him. So I don't want to take the time. I know the sheikhs with me probably make better presentation than myself, but these are points I wanted to draw your attention to it, because it's very important. It's your children. The best thing you can own in this world, I'm saying own, it's just as a figure of speech, of course. The best thing you can have in this world, and they will be a good asset for you, because you want, after you die, to have some of your children say, oh Allah, Rabbi اغفر لي ولوالدي رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. Oh, my Rabb, forgive me and forgive my parents since they raised me from young age. So you want that, because this is continuous. You will keep accruing reward by having good Muslim children. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that He may show us the right path, inspire us to follow it, and that He may show us the wrong path and inspire us to avoid it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله وسلم وبعد، فإن الحديث عن واجب المرأة هو حديث عن الدين كله، لأنهم يخطئون كثيرا عندما يقولون أن المرأة نصف المجتمع، فإن المرأة أم لكل أفراد المجتمع وأخت لكل أفراد المجتمع وبنت لكل أفراد المجتمع وزوجة لكل الرجال. لذلك فإن العناية بالمرأة عناية بالأسرة كاملها. ولذا فإن الذين يصدرون إفساد المرأة إلى العالم كله وهم اليهود ما اعتنوا في بيوتهم بشيء أكثر من عنايتهم بالمرأة، فإن الذي ينظر إلى أطفال اليهود يراهم بأشكال متشابهة يخرجون من بيوتهم، وإنما ذلك يرجع لأن في البيوت أما تلح وتدعو وتستمر وتحرص على أن يكون الولد على الصفة التي تريدها، فإنهم يريدون أن يخرجوا نساء العالم من بيوتهم حتى تبقى لهم القيادة. ولذلك فإن العناية بالمرأة هي العناية بالمجتمع كله، فإن صلحت المرأة صلحت سائر الأمة. وإن العلاقات التي ينبغي أن تصلحها المرأة علاقة المرأة بربها، وعلاقة المرأة بأفراد بيتها، وعلاقة المرأة بأختها المسلمة. أظن أن الكلام الذي تكلم فيه شيخنا الشيخ محمود مراد، وإن كنت لم أفهم من كلامه شيئا لحاجز اللغة الذي يحجز بيني وبين الكلام الذي تكلم به، فإلا أن ظني أنه تكلم عن واجب المرأة في بيتها. وإن شاء الله سيتكلم الشيخ وليد البسيوني جزاه الله خيرا عن واجب المرأة تجاه أختها المسلمة في أمر الدعوة إلى الله والحرص على ذلك. وأنا أشير إشارات سريعة إلى واجب المرأة نحو ربها، وإنما يكون ذلك بتصحيح اعتقادها وتعبدها. والاعتقاد لا بد أن نعلم أن له أركانا ستة: أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره، والعبادات كالطهارة والصلاة والصدقة والصوم والحج والذكر والدعاء. كل ذلك يدخل جملة تحت اسم العبادة. وأريد أن أشير إلى أن غالبا ما نجد أن الرجل له الثواب الذي فعلته زوجته لأنه حثها ودفعها وأعانها على ذلك، لكن في تاريخ الإسلام نساء لهن ثواب الأزواج، بل وثواب أكثر من ثواب الأزواج. أضرب المثل في ذلك بأم سليم بنت ملحان، أم أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنها وعنه، وزوج أبي طلحة. فأضرب المثل فيها في أمرين: الأمر الأول أنها نظرت إلى الناس وهم يهدون إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الهدايا والعطايا، فأرادت أن تقدم هدية لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلم تجد هدية أفضل من ولدها أنس، فقالت: يا رسول الله، هذا ولدي أنس وهبته لك يخدمك. الله الله. فإن أم سليم صار لها مثل ثواب أنس لأنها كانت سببا فيه، وأنس ثوابه في ذلك العلم الذي يبقى إلى أن تقوم الساعة، وأنس قد أطال الله عمره فمات عن 103 من الأعوام، عمر فيها بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 83 عاما، صار أبا وجدا، وصار له من الأحفاد وأبناء الأحفاد، حتى أنه مات له من ذريته في حياته ما يربو على 80، فما بالكم بمن بقي حيا في حياته. كل ذلك وهو ينقل العلم للناس يعلم. وإنما سبب ذلك أن أم سليم أهدته خادما للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكذلك فإن أم سليم لما مات زوجها مالك جاءها أبو طلحة ويخطبها، فقالت: والله ما مثلك يرد يا أبا طلحة، ولكني امرأة مسلمة وأنت رجل مشرك، فإن تسلم فذاك صداقي لا أريد سواه. فلما قالت ذلك خرج أبو طلحة وهو يفكر ما الإسلام، فدعته أن يتعلم الإسلام وأن يبحث عنه. فلما انتهى إلى التعرف على الإسلام عاد إليها وقال: قد أسلمت يا أم سليم. فتزوجته ورضيت بإسلامه صداقا مهرا لها. معشر النساء، إن النساء هن طريق الشيطان لغزو البيوت، وذلك لما خلق الله عز وجل فيهن من لين وضعف، فجعل الشيطان يتسلط عليهن ليغزو البيوت، فلا بد أن نحصن النساء، أن نحصن المرأة، أن نكثر من تحصينها حتى لا تكون ألعوبة عند الشيطان. وإن المرأة التي تعجب بأعمال الكافرين وترى في أي عمل من أعمالهم، أي خلق من أخلاقهم أمرا يعجبها، إنما هذه من خطوات الشيطان يستدرجها ليوقعها في حبائل الكافرين. فاحذري أيتها الأخت المسلمة أن تستعيني بالكافرين على المسلمين، أو أن تركني إليهم ولو شيئا قليلا، إنما عليك كثرة الذكر ودوام التعبد وتصحيح السلوك. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش الكريم أن يجمعنا وإياكم على الخير، وأن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and defining to us the topic that he will be discussing by introducing it and saying the things that are asked of the Muslim woman are equal and are important, just like asking what is asked of us in this religion. They are mistaken, those who say that the woman comprises of half of society, when in fact we see that the woman is the mother of all of the men in society, or the sister, or the daughter, or the loving wife of the men in society. Therefore, the woman is equal to the family. And the Jews have used this and understood this, and they have used it for their advantage. While keeping certain things sacred, the Jews, for example, if you see their children, all of them look alike or will dress alike. It is because of the woman in their household being constant in trying to keep her child on the path that they have chosen, while at the same time the Jews try to make the women of the world think of freedom and feminist tendencies. Therefore, it is important for us to understand and define the fact that if the Muslim woman is good, then the Muslim Ummah is in good. The Sheikh says the topics that we have chosen to speak to you today are three: the woman and her relationship with her Lord, the Muslim woman and her relationship in her household. And Sheikh Mahmoud corrects me, and he has corrected me before. He says I should always say Ar-Rabb and not say Lord. So we repeat ourselves and say the Muslim woman's duty and requirements as she deals with her Rabb, and the Muslim woman in her requirements and how she deals with her household, and the Muslim woman and her requirements in how she deals with her sister. The Sheikh says, although I do not understand much of the English language, I am sure that Sheikh Mahmoud has discussed with you something about the Muslim woman in her household. And inshallah soon Sheikh Waleed shall discuss with you the Muslim woman and her relationship with her sisters. And I begin the topic with you, the Muslim woman and her relationship with her Rabb. The Muslim woman and her relationship with her Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on aqeedah and ibadah. Aqeedah meaning that she is to concur and believe in the six tenets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in Allah, His angels, His messengers, His book, the final days, and al-qada' wal-qadr, divine ordainment and predestination. And ibadah includes any of the actions in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as taught to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salah, siyam, dhikr, raising of children, and as such. He says, men have become now in our time those who constantly get reward from ordering some of their wives or daughters or women to do actions that are pleasing to Allah, therefore sharing in the reward without doing much themselves. But at the time of the Sahaba and of the blessed generations, it was in reverse in some situations. And the Sheikh says, let me give you an example of one woman. It is the mother of Anas, radiallahu anhu, who, as we know, was the servant, or was placed as a person to help the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and serve him. Umm Sulaym. The first example he gives us is that she saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given a great amount of gifts by different people, and she didn't have anything to give him. So she thought to herself, what is more precious than giving my child to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a person who will sit with him and learn and be in the servitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, helping him in his daily activities and in what he may need. And therefore she earned and took the same reward that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu took. The reward of living 103 years in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of having life 83 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived for 83 years after the death of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and having 80 different grandchildren, all of this at the same time teaching the ummah and narrating the statements and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of this shall also be put in the balance of his mother, who was the first of people to push him towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second example is the example of Abu Talha. When he came to her and he was still in a state of disbelief, and recently her husband had passed away, and he came and asked her hand and she refused, saying, you are in disbelief. But if you believe and follow al-Islam, that would be my dowry and I will marry you. So he went and he pondered al-Islam and learned and accepted and came to her and married her. And it was her dowry that he accepted al-Islam. All of the actions he did thereafter are placed in her balance on the Day of Judgment, for she led him to goodness and to truth. Therefore, We must also understand, furthermore, that the woman can also be used as a weapon by the shaitan against the Muslim household and against others in society. Therefore, the Muslim woman should not look to the actions of disbelievers and take it as an example, should not allow any of the actions of the disbelievers to be something that she wishes to do or practice. For this will be something that will lead to the path of deviancy and shall lead her to the path of the shaitan. Instead, the Muslim woman should busy herself with adh-dhikr, with salah, with rearing her children in the most correct of manners, and so forth. The Sheikh concluded by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and to make us from those who hear the truth for what it is. And he concluded by handing over the discussion to a Sheikh Waleed al-Basyuni, hafidhahullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، أيها الأخوات الكريمات الفاضلات، أسأل الله أن يوفقنا وإياكم للخير وأن يجعلنا وإياكم بعد أيها الأخوات الكريمات الفاضلات أسأل الله أن يوفقنا وإياكم للخير وأن يوفقنا وإياكم للخير وأن يجعلنا وإياكم من أهل رحمته ومغفرته ورضوانه والفائزين بجنته والناجين من النار. وبعد، فإني أحب أن أذكر أخواتي المسلمات بأمر عظيم، وسأتكلم باللغتين اختصارا للوقت. I would like to address my sister a short speech about a point to remind them about it, which is an important thing, I believe. And I will start, inshallah, use the both language to save the time for answering your questions, insha'Allah ta'ala. Since we are living in a society, as the Sheikh Abu Abdurrahman, he just mentioned, in America, the Western culture, and American culture especially, it's a very strong culture. It can affect anyone, unless he take help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then seeking help from his brother and the sister from his sister to keep herself away from this society and be affected in a wrong way. ومن أعظم هذه المظاهر التي أحب أن أشير إليها أن هذا المجتمع يفتخر بأنه المجتمع الذي يعطي النساء حقوقهن. This society is so proud by saying we are the only society in the whole world giving the woman their rights. ويفتخرون بأن المرأة في الغرب أعز امرأة. They're so proud by saying we are the only society who respect the woman so much and giving the woman the position she should be. Respect her opinion, respect her desires. Reclaiming that, and they always involve in the Muslims country and saying the Muslims country, they are not giving the women the rights, and they use this excuse a lot to involve in the Muslims in Muslims country. ولا عجب حينئذ أن أقول لكم أن المجتمع الغربي يعاني ردة فعل لأحداث ليست بالبعيدة. This reaction, I mean, this thing is fact, it's a reaction. Let me give you a brief history about the woman in the Western. in 1856, when the Prophet ﷺ was a young man, in France, they had a meeting to decide the woman has a soul or not. هل المرأة لها روح أم هي جسد بدون روح؟ عام 856. And they said, if she has a soul, or her soul equal to the man's soul, or her soul is equal to the animal soul. Then after that, couple of years, or maybe 10 years later, in England, they said, there is a rule, a woman, she's not allowed to touch the Bible, because she's impure creation. She's not allowed to touch it, only for men. Then, in 18 something, they had a rule in England saying that the people who had mentality and capacity, three kinds: kids, the children, and the mental people, the crazy people, and the woman. They need somebody to sponsor them. Then, 1800, في القرن الثامن عشر, in England, the law allowed the husband to sell his wife. The law in England in 18, we are 19 now, in 18, in that century, he allowed the husband to sell his wife. عام 1800 كان القانون الإنجليزي يبيح للرجل أن يبيع زوجته. And there is a man who sold his wife. And he said, this is in the law, and he won that in the case. After that, the law has been changed in England. Just a few years ago. Therefore, it's a reaction. It's another extreme. Comes today, and they say, we're so proud by our way with dealing with the women. The President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, he said when he get the... when he became a president, he said, I'm so proud by my mother because she is the one who let me reach this position. But let me tell you something, sisters. I don't know why many of our sisters today, they don't feel how is the woman as an important partner in this life, or important thing in our life who can build the Muslims community. Sheikh Safwat just said, يقولون المرأة نصف المجتمع وهي تلد النصف الآخر فالمرأة المجتمع كلها. A woman, she's a mother for the half of the, she's a mother, or the woman, they said the woman half of the society, but in fact she's the whole society because the other half come from the mother. She's the one who made the whole community. Some sisters said, yeah, this is cheap talk. You're always hearing something like that from men. I will be honest with you. Sometimes men put some women down. But in fact, many of the sisters actually, they don't realize the importance, or they are carrying a message as the men carrying the message. قال الله تعالى إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما إنا عرضنا على السماوات والأرض.
We have offered the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فأبين. They rejected this trust. and they refused to uphold this trust, and we offered the trust to mankind and they accepted. For mankind كان جهولا, he was ظلوما جهولا, oppressive to himself and of an ignorant state. ليعذب الله, it was a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bring a test so that those who deserve punishment shall be punished and those who deserve goodness ليعذب الله.
No, the shahid wa al-munafiqin.
No. So that Allah punishes those who are hypocrites and those who are not of the right Islamic mentality.
Translation. Hypocrites among male and female.
No.
Yeah, go ahead, continue.
The Akman.
Oh, I should translate all of it. And the mushrikeen among male and female. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. That Allah will accept repentance from the mu'mineen and the mu'minat. Do you have ever asked yourself, what's the meaning of mentioning here male and female? To tell your sister you are carrying this responsibility. You're carrying this amana with the men, which is the deen, which you have to establish in your own life. Yes, sister, it's not our responsibility as a men. It's your responsibility too. And everyone has his own responsibility to carry it. Look at the other verse. قال الله تعالى والمؤمنين والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض.
And the believing men and the believing women are both protectors of one another and helpers to one another.
Look at the مؤمنين the مؤمنات يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر.
They order what is good and they forbid what is evil.
يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة.
They establish prayers and give the alms and zakat.
ويطيعون الله ورسوله.
And they obey Allah and His Messenger.
أولئك سيرحمهم الله.
For them Allah shall give them and grant them mercy.
إن الله عزيز حكيم.
Surely Allah is the most one in strength and most wise.
And other verses. إن قال الله تعالى إن المسلمين والمسلمات.
Surely the Muslim men and the Muslim women.
والمؤمنين والمؤمنات. Look at that. He mentioned the females. والمؤمنين والمؤمنات.
Believing men and believing women.
والقانتين والقانتات.
And those who are in a state of submissive men and submissive females.
والصادقين والصادقات.
Truthful men and truthful women.
والصابرين والصابرات.
Patient men and patient women.
والخاشعين والخاشعات.
Submitting with fear in men and submitting in fear in women.
والمتصدقين والمتصدقات.
Those who are giving in charity for men and women.
والصائمين والصائمات.
Those who fast, men and women.
والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات.
Those who protect their modesty and chastity in men and women.
والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات.
Those who are remembering Allah greatly in both men and women.
أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward.
أنت أيتها الأخت. Sister, I just wanted to focus on this point. Wallahi, the Islam gives the woman a position, I don't know, men or women, they don't think about it. Look at yourself as a children, as a wife, as a mother. As no other, you will be as a daughter, or a wife, or a mother. Is there anything else? There's nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as a mission hadith Anas ibn Malik في صحيح الإمام مسلم that أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من عال جاريتين حتى تبلغا كن له حجابا من النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Whoever raises two girls in the proper way Islamically, they shall be a barrier between him and the fire.
قال الإمام القرطبي حتى تبلغ, he said, until they get married. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, whoever got three daughters, they will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him from the hellfire for if he raised the three daughters Islamically or in a good way. It's only for daughters. It's not for sons, sisters. It's just for women, just for females. This reward only for females, for daughters, not for sons. Yes. Therefore, they said, Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, his son, he used to get the daughters. And Ahmad, when he been told that his son, Salih, got the daughters, seven daughters, he used to say, La ilaha illallah. Innal anbiya hum aba'ul banat. Ahmad, he used to say, the prophets, they are the father of the daughters, or their children, they are daughters. Sisters, as a wife, the Prophet ﷺ said, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, خير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالحة.
The Prophet ﷺ said, the greatest thing a person can be given on earth is a righteous woman, a righteous wife.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع من السعادة المرأة الصالحة يعني الزوجة الصالحة صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Four things that are of goodness is one of them, a righteous wife.
The first one.
The first one is a righteous wife.
A righteous wife. As a wife, as a mother. What to say about a mother? What's the mother position in Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind about the mother in the Quran, or mention the mother in many verses in the Quran, and asking the Muslim to be kinder parents and specify the mother. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, who is the most person I have to be kind to? He said, ummuk thumma ummuk thumma ummuk. Your mother, then your mother, then your mother, then your mother, then your father. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And if you look to the mother situation in the Islam or the Islamic history, it's amazing, sisters. There is a woman, her name is Ummu Ibrahim al-Abidah al-Kufiya. That woman once, look at the mother, how when she raised her kids, when she became a good mother, how she will be. She was in Masjid al-Kufa. كانت إبراهيم أم إبراهيم العابدة في مسجد الكوفة. وكان وقت غزو وجهاد في سبيل الله. فنادى منادي الجهاد. حي على الجهاد للناس. فقام الخطيب يعظ الناس ويحثهم على الجهاد. There is, in that time there is a war, there is a fight, there is a jihad. Then the خطيب stood up and she said, Ya Abd al-Wahid, I hear what you're saying. وَإِنَّكَ تَعْرِفُ إِبْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَإِنَّ أَهْلَ الْكُوفَةِ لَيَخْطِبُونَهُ لِبَنَاتِهِمْ. I hear what you said, and my son Ibrahim, the people in Kufa, everyone like to give him his daughter, to marry his daughter to him. And you know how he is. And I like the woman you just described. How I can let him marry her? قال ما عليك إلا أن يخرج في ساحة الجهاد فيقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل. She said, okay, you want him to marry this woman, let him go for jihad. He might be killed as a shaheed, then he will go for Jannah. She said, I pay for her the mahr. I pay 10,000 dirham, 10,000 dirham. أجهز بها ابني بخيل بفرس ودرع وسلاح وأحمله إلى الجهاد. She paid 10,000 dirham and she said, buy for him a horse and make him as a knight and take him with you. When he left, she raised her hand, she said, اللهم لا تجمع بيني وبينه إلا عند باب الجنة. She said, may Allah, oh Allah, I don't want to see him again until I meet him in the Jannah. Then he left for jihad. And he was killed in the Ma'raka. And When they returned back, قال الحافظ عبد الواحد قال لا يخبرها أحد بخبر ابنها لكي لا تجزع فيضيع أجرها. دعوني أنا الذي أخبرها. He said, nobody tell her that your son was killed because I'm afraid she will get sad or might she do something wrong. She will lose the good intention she used to have by be saying about sad about missing her kids or her children. When they came back, his sister, they found the mother waiting outside, waiting for the army. And she said, Ya Abd al-Wahid, أقبلت هديتي فأهنئ نفسي أم ردت إلي فأعزيها. She said, Oh Abd al-Wahid, my gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala been accepted or he returned back, so I would be sad. Where is my son? Then عبد الواحد, the Imam said, إن ابنك بقي مع الأحياء ورجع لك الأموات. لا إله إلا الله. He said, your son were the people who has the true life because he's shaheed. And we all came back and we're gonna die as a dead people. So she said, الحمد لله الذي ما ردني في ابني. She said, الحمد لله that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my gift. Him. Sister, when we talk about how this mother changed the world, you know, sister, Al-Hakim al-Naysaburi, one of the great scholars, do you know how many women he seek knowledge from? His shiuch, 80 women. In the shiuch Al-Hakim, 80 imra'ah, sami'a minha al-hadith. 80 women. Do you have ever heard in the whole history, in any kind of mankind, any scholar has 80 female teacher? Only in the hadith in Islam. Naam. This is the woman in the Islam. I will end with this example because I don't want to take much time. By remind myself and you, عن امرأة قدوة والله للرجال قبل النساء. وهي أم الزينب أم العباس فاطمة. This woman in Ibn Taymiyyah's time كانت عالمة. She was a scholar. She was making أمر بمعروف ونهي عن المنكر. She was a great يعني حافظة للقرآن, memorizing the Quran. And Ibn Taymiyyah, you know Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, his student said, كانت إذا أقبلت فاطمة الزينبية تهيب لها شيخ الإسلام وقالت جاءتكم فاطمة بسؤالاتها, وكان ابن تيمية رحمه الله يتهيب مسائلها ويقول أظنها تستظهر عامة المغني لابن قدامة. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when she came, he said, oh, this is Fatima. She came with her questions. She has the hard questions. She's giving such good questions to me. And he used to be worried when she came, and he used to be, يعني, preparing himself to accept the question she's coming with. A woman, a sister. One of your sisters in Islam. And the great al-Hufadh, like Ibn Kathir, his wife, she be memorized the Quran under her hand. And al-Hafidh al-Mizzi, his wife, his mother-in-law, she be memorized Quran under her hand. And talking about this woman is a special talk. It can be give a special lesson about her. Sisters, the women in Islam long time ago or even today, they are doing something. They're changing their homes, their neighbors, their sisters. Why we are like this? Why we are not a positive? Why the non-Muslims women, they are so active? Why the fasaq women, they are so active? Do you know the women's movement? Who's running it? A woman who are not a good Muslim. Why do they have such good da'wah and good da'wah for the batil, for the wrong, for the deviant way the talking or the message they're carrying. And we are a good Muslims. We know what's right, what's wrong, and we are only busy when we meet each other about what you have, how you cook that, or what's the this kind of food. Oh, sister, you're from Arab. Dear, can you teach me how you make such good Arabic food or Pakistani food or American food, or what to dress, or what I have cheap talk. Really? Why we are like that? Why the sister still she not realize that she can do something, she can offer something, she can teach her husband. Yes, she can teach her father even. Ibn Sirin, a great Tabi'i scholar, when he was asked about ayah, he used to say, go to Hafsa and ask her, I'm not sure about the ayah. Because his sister Hafsa, she memorized Quran when she was 12 years old. كانت مقرئة وهي ابنة 13 سنة وحفظت وهي ابنة 10 سنة حفصة بنت سيرين. Why the sisters they are not looking that example? Why when you was not Muslim sometimes, some sister when they were not Muslim, they used to be so active. But when she became Muslim, she became so lazy. Why is that? Islam is giving you courage. Al-Islam يعطيك قوة, ثقة. But I'm warning you, don't let that courage to get extreme, to get out from the line. You have to remind always that you have a field, a huge field. It's not only one thing you can, or one field. You have a huge area you can work in, you work on. How many sisters in this conference said, I will be preparing something to deliver to my sisters? How many sisters think to bring something about any nasiha to her sister and pass it away? How many sisters, when she was her sister, said, now we will spend 3-4 days, why we're not memorizing a couple of verses? Or memorizing a couple of hadith? How many sisters, كم امرأة من كن فكرت أن تذاكر إخت أخو أخواتها اليوم عن شيء من القرآن أو تذاكرهم في شيء من الحديث؟ كم من امرأة إذا جلست إلى أخواتها أعدت لهن رسالة أو كتابا؟ We have a good examples, alhamdulillah. I know a good examples from some sisters who are running sometimes a website or a web page translating some letters or writing some articles and give it to students of knowledge. And they're so active. I know one sister, she made a newsletter and she distributed this newsletter for more than 13 countries. One sister, I know her. امرأة واحدة تطبع مطبوعة توزع في 13 دولة. Yes, sisters. Wallahi, they're so active, and I'm sure Sheikhana Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman, Sheikh Safwat, if he told you about how the sisters and أنشطة النساء في تلخيص الأشرطة وتفريغها وكتابة المحاضرات, they write the lecture, they write the tapes, or they might write it as a book and give it to some of you if not, he said, how you think, could we publish this? How many sisters think when she come back home, she will write all the notes she collect in this conference, تجمع كل هذه النقاط اللي استفادت منها في المؤتمر وتكتبها ثم تعطيها للمؤتمر ليكون ورقة ناجحة تهدى لأخواتها في العام القادم. How many sisters think about doing something, some points, collect the good answer or the good questions and collect it together and give it as a gift for her sister after she showed to one of Studio of Knowledge? Why we are like not thinking positive, only thinking about very short. Sisters, it's a long talk, and I think I take more than I should. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that heat in our heart, that feeling, this responsibility. However, whatever your age, you still have this responsibility. أيًا كان عمرك كبيرة صغيرة متزوجة لست متزوجة يجب أن يكون لكنا عمل, يجب أن يكون لكنا دعوة إلى الله بينكن. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يفتح على قلوبنا وقلوبكم and guide us to the right path. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
مجموعة أسئلة مكتوبة باللغة العربية سأجيب عليها إن شاء الله إجابات مختصرة. سؤال عن الويلفير المساعدات الأمريكية لغير القادرين على العمل، هل يجوز أن يأخذها من هو مستغن عنها؟ الجواب: لا يجوز أن يأخذها إلا من كان محتاجا إليها. هل يجوز إعطاء الأبناء من زكاة الذهب لأن البعض الأحيان المبلغ الذي يحصل عليه من عملهم لا يكفيهم؟ الأبناء إنما ينفق عليهم من أصل المال لا من الزكاة. لبس المرأة للبنطلون الضيق أمام زوجها إن كان من تزين المرأة لزوجها فهذا جائز. هل يجوز للمرأة أن تبعث من مصروفها الخاص بها من قبل الزوج لأهلها مع العلم أن زوجها يرفض أن تبعث لأهلها؟ المرأة عليها أن تطيع زوجها، فلو نهاها أن تبعث بشيء من المال لأهلها فإنها لا تبعث. السؤال عن قيادة المرأة. طيب. السؤال عن قيادة المرأة للسيارة، والجواب أن المرأة الأصل أنها لا تقود السيارة إلا إذا كانت تخلص من مضرات أشد، لو ركبت السيارة حتتخلص منها، يعني تجوز عند الحاجة إليها. المرأة حكم السفر المرأة وحدها ولو بالطائرة؟ الجواب أن المرأة لا تسافر إلا مع محرم. صلاة الوتر هل يجلس فيها جلسة افتراش أم جلسة تورك؟ الجواب أن كل صلاة فيها أكثر من تشهد فإن التشهد الأول افتراش والتشهد الثاني تورك. طيب تفضل.
The Sheikh answered a few questions. Inshallah, we will have some of the others answer some other questions, inshallah. The first question, it was in regards to welfare that is offered by the government. Can a person who is not in need of taking welfare, are they allowed to take it? The answer is no, only those who are in need are permitted. The second question, can a person pay zakah? The zakah that he's paying on his wealth, can he take the zakah and use it for his children? And the answer is no. Can the wife wear pants in her home? And the answer is yes. The wife may wear pants inside her home or for the pleasure of her husband or whatever is in necessity. The next question. Can a Muslim woman send money that was given to her from her husband as her allowance or money that he gives to her monthly? Can she send from this money to her family knowing that her husband does not wish for her to do so? And the answer is no, she should obey the husband. Can a Muslim woman drive a car? And the answer is yes, if there is a need for this. The next question is in regards to travel. The Muslim woman travel distances without a guardian or without a protector, especially if it is by plane? The answer is no, only with a person who shall be a protector and guardian.